The regularly scheduled meeting of the House Labor and Commerce for today will now come to order at 4:05. With us are Representative Chenault, Representative Reinbold, Representative Josephson, Representative Millette, Representative Sadler, and myself, Chair Olson. Representative Heron has an excused absence. Please keep your phones off again. Or still. We have three bills left on the calendar. I don't know how far we're going to get down, but we're making some kind of progress. House Bill 102, Retirement Plans, Roth IRAs, Probate, is back. Ernest, are you going to be... you're going to be on the hot seat. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and walk us through what we're doing.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ernest Prox, staff to Representative Wes Keller. The version that you should have before you today for adoption is version U, and that includes and that incorporates two changes from the previous meeting. The first one incorporates the amendment to A1 that corrected a drafting error, and that was on page 3, line 3. Version A, and it should still be that on version U. The second change, we took out section 38 at the wishes of the committee. That was in the version A bill. That was pages 35 through 36, lines 28 through 4. And those are the two changes that are in the version U of HB 102.
And I'll entertain a motion to adopt version U.
Okay. I move committee substitute House Bill 102 version U as the working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. And do you want to tell briefly what we did with section 38?
Yeah, just a second here. Yes, Section 38, as I recall, it dealt with at what point in time there was an insurable interest when creating an insurance policy, I believe. And as I remember the discussion from the last committee meeting, there was some uncertainty as to whether that was really needed. It was kind of a technical legal question. And I talked with the people that we've been working with, and they decided that, and they came to the conclusion that that language probably isn't needed. That it's not needed and can be deleted from the bill without any problems. And so that was the main change that was made when we deleted out that particular section.
Are there any questions for Ernst on any of the changes that we made, which were pretty minor? And with that, I'll remove my objection, and we'll, if there's no further objection, we'll adopt version U as the working document. And we have one amendment. Are you going to offer it, or is Conrad? Yes, Conrad does. Thanks a lot, Ernst. I think you're off the hot seat.
All right, thank you.
Or it's not going to help. Yeah, what had happened to bring the committee up to speed is we have an amendment. It is lengthy, and we don't want to adopt the amendment off of the conceptual amendment. We prefer to have everything completely hammered out by the legal department. I think when you see it, it'll make a lot more sense. What came up to be about one paragraph ended up to be about three pages. And so we're going to wait till we get the final copy of that. And it doesn't make any onerous changes. It just, when you have a lot of attorneys that are making a lot of money, they have to justify themselves sometimes. And boy, they did it on the amendment. So I believe that we will be avoiding a lot of confusion if we can put out the final product in a timely fashion so everybody has a chance to see it before we bring the bill back, and we expect to have that out by the end of the week. And we've noticed another meeting for this bill on on Monday, and at that point in time, we expect to roll it out. But having said that, I'd like to get the public testimony out of the way before we do that, so we can spend a we can get on to other bills on Monday after this one. But I think we have Dave Schaftel for questions off net, and we have Beth Chapman as well, I think, in the room.
Mr. Chairman, she should be online, I think.
Is she online as well? Beth, are you with us?
I am, thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Beth Chapman, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Faulkner Banfield in Juneau.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to testify telephonically today. I am really here to answer any questions. I testified in support of the bill, and the amendments are ones, one requested by the committee that I support, as well as the other amendment regarding the technical correction. So I'm really here to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Oh, perfect. Any questions for Beth? Thanks again for taking the time to participate today. And we have two people in the room. Doug Blockmeyer, please join us.
Chairman and representatives, my name is Douglas Blockmeyer, and I'm president and CEO of Alaska Trust Company. And we're just here to say that we support this legislation. We think it's a good piece of legislation, should create jobs and bring revenue to the state of Alaska.
Excellent. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Could have called in on that. We also have Brett Kolb in the room for any questions on the insurance component, if anybody has any. I don't think he has anything. Do you have anything to add other than that, just questions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there anybody else in the room that... at this point in time, you can call me anything you want.
He's gone.
That offer doesn't extend to anybody else, by the way. No questions for Brett. Thanks again for coming across the street. Anybody else in the room? Seeing none, is there anybody else online?
With Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Schaftel.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm an attorney in Anchorage in private practice. I work in this area of trust and estates, and I was one of the group of attorneys who worked on House Bill 102. It's a bill that we've been working on for now about 3 years. It has a number of excellent provisions that are going to help all of the residents of the state of Alaska. The committee to give it very serious consideration. I think it's an excellent bill for adoption. I'm available for any questions, as Beth. If anyone has any, I'd be happy to try and respond.
Yeah, we had you down for questions, and Beth for yes, she wanted to testify, so I apologize on the confusion, but that's the way our day's been going. And thanks again for joining us today.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just
certainly
a quick question. Is it...
So, Dave Schaftel.
Mr. Schaftel, this is Andy Josephson in Juneau. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. They unmuted me at the time you were talking. After what you said.
Well, I guess I just have a pretty, I think, easy question. You do probate practice in Anchorage?
Yes, I do.
All right. And you're familiar with the probate bar, I assume, and your colleagues in the bar?
Yes, I am.
And your colleagues that do probate practice, they like this bill?
Yes. There are just a number of provisions in here which will make it easier for us to administer estates and trusts as well as to do planning for Alaska residents. And these provisions have been discussed among the probate bar is a relatively small group, and we have kicked around the problems that we have had and where we need statutes to remedy those problems, and then we come to you periodically every couple of years and ask for your help to consider enacting statutes that would help the residents of Alaska with their estate planning and the administration of their estates and trusts.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thanks again. And is there anybody else online that I've missed? With that, we're going to close out public testimony. We will get the revised verbiage out to the all the stakeholders as soon as we have it, and it's my intention to spend as little time as possible on Monday moving this bill out. So we've had no opposition since the first meeting, and we've got the I think everything worked out to where it's acceptable by all parties. So everybody may not like it, but I think at this point in time it sounds like everybody can live with it. So with that, we're going to take a break at ease and set up for the next bill. We're back on the record. The next item on the calendar today is House Bill 116. And with us are the sponsor, Charisse, or Representative Charisse Blood, who is coincidentally a member of this committee, and Ike Geolopsis. Am I close?
You are, Mr. Chairman.
Sounds like a good Greek name.
You're correct, Mr. Chairman.
I'm Greek on my mother's side, thank God, or I'd have a,
oh, wow.
You'd have problems with my name.
I figured about
that. please continue. Name and affiliation for the record.
For the record, my name is Charisse Millett. I represent House District 24 in the beautiful city of Anchorage, Alaska. HB 116, the bill we're hearing today, is a way to honor our members of the military that have served and work with the state as a peace officer. So both of those combined, just to tell you how it came to be, folks that have past military service, especially the ones we've seen in the last 10 years, have been in combat, have done things. People before that have had the same type of, war is not a friendly place to be. But also, when they come back and they take jobs that they had in military, such as firefighters or police officers, the wear and tear on their body is incredible. What we've come up with is a way that might be a cost savings to not only the state of Alaska, but a help to our fire and police department members, and another way to honor them. And this is allowing them to buy back 5 years of their PERS eligibility for medical benefits and retirement. One of the things that you'll see in the, if you look at the fiscal note, it doesn't have a fiscal note. It's a zero fiscal note because the members of that are in the PERS system would be paying that cost back through an actuary formula that would buy back whatever amount of years that they needed so that they could retire only to 5 years. So I think it's a good way, not only one, to recognize the military service that our peace officers and firefighters have done, but also a way for the state, in no disrespect to the police officers or firefighters, but as they age and get older when they're in working for the citizens of Alaska, the possibility of them getting hurt or needing more time off because of the stresses of the jobs grow significantly. So this would allow for an earlier retirement at no cost to the state and possibly save the state some money in the meantime. So you have the bill in front of you. It's a pretty simple process. We have folks here. Ike will walk you through the sectional. We have folks from the administration. We have folks from firefighters and the police departments that can tell you exactly how they feel about it and what they think that it would do for their organization. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will let Ike walk you through the section unless you have any questions for me. It's pretty straightforward, Bill.
Pretty straightforward. Ike, your first time before the committee, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ike Galapsos, staff to Representative Charisse Millett. It'll be my pleasure to walk through the sectional analysis.
Certainly.
Section 1 of this bill is simply a conforming section. What the section does is it takes 39.35.340 and it takes the languages that are necessary to conform it to the second section of this bill and removes a particular subsection down where you will see it in subsection 2 of section 2. Section 2 of the bill adds a new subsection, and that new subsection allows peace officers and firefighters who are vested employees under PERS 2 or 3 to be able to obtain medical coverage under 39.35.535C under the condition that they would confer with the Division of Retirement and Benefits, in actuarial indebtedness would be calculated. And because this is a permissive piece of legislation, that employee, as a peace officer and firefighter, could choose up to 5 years, if they're eligible up to 5 years, to purchase that time. And I believe that's the entirety of the sectional analysis, Mr. Chairman.
That matches up with the one in front of me. Any questions for Aiki? With that, it looks like we have a number of Representative Sadler.
Brief question. I'm not sure if you're the best person to answer, but you did say that the police or fire could purchase credit earned in Tier 2 or 3, but not Tier 1, did I hear you say? Not Tier 1?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sadler, I guess in a very technical sense, Tier 1 could apply, but because we are speaking about officers who would be eligible to purchase time between their 20th and 25th year, and since Tier 1 already encompasses that, that is why that exception. So, yes, that is correct, but I guess this is why it applies specifically to those two tiers.
More thoughtful answer. Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Yes. I'm going to learn your last name. Tell me again, and I'll get it right the first time.
Yalopsos?
Yalopsos, easy. Mr. Yalopsos.
So my father says.
Mr. Yalopsos, isn't there an argument that this actually will save the state some money? Because people might choose to retire earlier, will lose their wisdom, which is a downside, but they'll come in with lower classification replacements.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Josephson, I wouldn't categorically assert that, but I would say there is a strong argument to be said that because we are speaking about specifically 240 employees that are peace officers and firefighters, they tend to be on the higher end of the payroll scale. They also happen to continue to be in some of the most hazardous work environments that the state can provide to them at a point in their lives where, old person strength aside, and I've been a victim of that thanks to the discipline of my parents, that simply is a younger person's game, and the wear and tear to that is an added incentive to having entry-level positions that are uniformly going to be lower in cost in terms of the payroll to the state. And since you are having those individuals leaving, the injuries that they could incur will have repercussive effects throughout not just the workman's compensation calculations potentially, but also the payroll effects that would happen if a disability were to incur, Mr. Chairman.
Follow?
Yes, just Mr. Yalopsos, you said this is permissive, so the individual could, if they thought they could beat what the PERS TERS required, they could shop, they're free to do that for their own coverage, but anyway, at any rate, it's permissive.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Representative Josephson, yes it is.
Okay. Thank you. I have another question.
Any other questions of the sponsor or her staff? The sponsor can come back up to the table. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jim.
I think we're going to open it up to public testimony at this point in time. And Jim Puckett. Not with us? Yeah, there he is. Back row.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
If Mr. Puckett and Ms. Lee could come together and explain the way that the bill would work with respect to the Division of Retirement Benefits, we appreciate the indulgence.
Welcome back. It's been a while. Please state your names and affiliation for the record. And
Jim Puckett, the Director for the Division of Retirement Benefits.
Kathy Lee, Deputy Director for the Division of Retirement and Benefits.
Thank you for joining us today. Please continue.
We're here to answer questions. We also want to make it clear that we're here to work with the sponsor and to help get the bill through. We do have a minor item that we need to discuss with the sponsor on changing a few words in the bill so it can be administered as it's intended, but we don't foresee any problem with that.
So would it be safe to assume that you're supportive of the bill?
Officially, there's no position on the bill, but we're working with the sponsor.
Neither supports or opposes? I remember that one. Representative Sadler.
It is a vanilla of responses. Through the chair, Mr. Puckett, being not a firefighter, police officer, or veteran, and not yet retired, Could you just kind of walk me through the hypothetical as to how this process would work if this bill were to become law? Come up with a hypothetical police officer who'd served time in the service and how that would work and what he would get for what? Just kind of give me an example of how it works.
Mr. Chairman, to Representative Sadler, the deputy director is the subject of your, if you'll allow me to defer her to run that through for you.
Through the chair, Representative Sandler, right now the Tier 2 and Tier 3 peace officers and firefighters can retire at any age with 20 years of service, but they can't access their medical benefits unless they have 25 years of service. So a peace officer or firefighter who retires with just 20 years of service as Tier 1 or Tier 3 has to wait until age 60 to do so.
You said Tier 1 or Tier 3?
Tiers 2 and Tier 3. I'm sorry if I misspoke. So what would happen is if we had a Tier 2 or Tier 3 peace officer or firefighter who wanted to do this, we would have to do the estimates for the cost to purchase their military service towards health eligibility in the year in which they're retiring. We would not be able to do it prior to that. And the reason for that is this is an actuarial calculation that's based on their age and on the current earnings in the fund and the present value of the additional benefits they're going to receive. So it would have to be done in the year that they retire. Once we have the amount that they would owe for each year that they would be using towards eligibility, they would be able to use up to 5 years, then we would determine from the retiree how they wanted to pay for it. They can pay for the service in full or in partial before retirement. If there is any remaining balance, that can be taken as a lifetime actuarial reduction to their retirement benefit. They can do a plan-to-plan transfer into the PERS from another qualified plan, such as the Alaska Supplemental Annuity Plan or the Alaska Deferred Compensation Plan, to pay for this.
Paul? There's no penalty for taking money out of your SBS to do that, or your deferred comp or whatever?
Through the chair, Representative Sandler, no, there's no penalty because it's a direct plan-to-plan transfer. Okay.
That's a good question. I don't know if you can answer it, but does this go the other way if you had somebody who was a police officer and then joined the Marines and wanted to retire on Uncle Sam's pension plan? Would they be able to buy a service from the state of Alaska to apply to military retirement? Does it go back and forth? I know you're not the expert of that system, but just if you might know.
I'm sorry, I would not know.
Nope. Thank you.
Any further questions? Speaker Chenault? No? Thanks again.
Thank you.
Jake Metcalf. Thought you'd never have this day.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. My name is Jake Metcalf. I'm Executive Director for the Public Safety Employees Association, Local 803. I'd like to thank you and your staff for scheduling the bill. I'd like to thank Representative Millett, the sponsor, and her staff for all the work they've done on this bill. Just to give you a little background, PSEA represents police officers in Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, Fairbanks, Soldotna, Unalaska, and Dillingham. We also represent the state troopers and the airport police and fire officers who are located in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. There are about 750 to 800 police, fire, and police department employees within our organization. We very much support this bill, and we would ask the committee to support it. I would just point out a couple of areas listed in the sponsor statement, actually just one, but and Representative Millett and staff mentioned this, but one of the sentences reads, referring to police and fire. They have made a career providing public safety and rescue in one of the most hazardous working environments to be found. There are a number of charts in your packet that show the type of injury that police officers and firefighters, at least in the troopers, have suffered over time. But I just also point out and the tragedy that happened this week involving BPSO Madel in southwest Alaska. I think that, you know, is a very tragic example of the type of hazards that police and fire face every day that they go to work. And our hearts go out to his family, and we wish them the best dealing with this tragedy. But it is a very difficult job, and this bill allows our members who have served some time in the military to at least use that towards their medical coverage during retirement. They pay for it. It doesn't cost the state. And we think it's a bill that recognizes the service that our members give to the community and the safety that they provide to everybody within the state of Alaska. So we would urge you to support it, and just want to thank you for your time today.
Well, okay, I've got the first question. Out of your 750 employees, approximately how many people out of that would be eligible to participate?
I don't have a number for you. I know that the total number that would be affected by this bill, I know it was 238 last year. I assume that's gone down because some people have retired.
Is that out of other unions as well?
That's public safety employees in the state of Alaska that would be eligible.
238. So we're not looking at a huge number of.
Not a huge number. We would have a good number of those within our organization, but we don't represent all police or public safety employees in the state. So that's the best answer I can give you.
Well, thanks. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Metcalf, there was reference made to the sponsor statement. I've read it again, and it talks about honorably discharged members who come back to work are allowed to purchase retirement service. I'm looking at the bill and not seeing if there is a restriction to members who leave the service with an honorable discharge. Is that laid out someplace else? I'm just not seeing it, or is that?
I'm not aware that it's in there.
Okay. So I'm seeing nods from the. I guess I'd like to ask Mr. Ikey if he can.
Mr. Ikey.
It's
easier.
I'm sorry.
For the record, again, Mr. Chairman, Ike Gilopso, staff to Representative Charisse Millett. If we were to look at the provisions that are being changed here, and I would believe that is 3935340, then that is under the condition of military service, and it says, quote, a vested employee is entitled to credited service for active military service in the armed forces of the United States, either by enlistment or induction, if the employee received a discharge under honorable conditions and is not entitled to receive retirement benefits from the United States government for the same service. So this is, Mr. Chairman, Representative Sadler, a very narrow but very defined description of the public safety employees that we are talking about. I hope that's a sufficient answer.
And under honorable conditions includes general discharge as well as honorable discharge.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Okay.
But not a BCD or right. Dishonorable.
Yeah.
Any further Representative Millett?
Mr. Metcalf, I hope I didn't offend any of the elder police officers or firefighters by saying that I wanted them on the service a little earlier. I didn't mean any derogatory by that. I'm sure they're all very quite capable of saving a life still at the age of ripe age of 55.
Representative Millett, through the chair, I don't think you insulted anybody. I can just speak from my experience. They're in good shape. And they do a good job for their age. And
now you're in trouble.
but I am that age you were referring to. So, and I know a few members that are that age too. So,
Representative Josephson, no questions.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back.
Thank you,
James Sears.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for joining us today, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Jay Sears, and I also represent PSEA as a vice president. And I'd like to thank Representative Millett for introducing and working on House Bill 116. It's very important to me. I was born and raised in Alaska. I'm currently a state trooper stationed in Nome. I've done most of my career in rural Alaska, 13 years and counting. I've been in law enforcement since 1985. So to answer her question that she just had, I've been doing this for 27 years, and about 20 of those I could have carried her out. Now I'd have to drag her out.
Are you talking about?
But we're still going to get you out. we're still going to get you out. But anyway, I'm also a disabled U.S. Army veteran. My job duties as a state trooper are very physically demanding. I wear an extra 28 pounds of gear every day, a flak vest, my duty weapon, and all of the bat toys that go along with it. I must travel all over the state in planes, four-wheelers, boats, ocean boats, river boats, and also on foot. Just to let you know, all of this sounds like a lot of fun, but I just got back last night at 6 p.m. from a 400-mile snow machine patrol, and I'm a little sore. With 28 extra pounds of gear riding a snow machine, it'll do things to your old frame. So anyway, police work is a young man's game. It's getting more and more difficult at 27 years to wrestle bad guys and wrestling folks that do not want to cooperate when they need to go to jail. House Bill 116 gives veterans an opportunity to retire with 20 years if they have both their military time, if they're eligible for the full 5 years. It will allow them to buy both their military time and then also their military medical time so that they can retire early and stave off those expensive injuries. In the long run, this would save the state a lot of money for future salaries if senior troopers stay employed past 20 years, a higher cost of senior employee salaries over those 5 years. Most troopers will have to work 25 years to gain their medical, and then if they purchase their 5 years of Army benefits or military service, then that's an extra 5 years of salary that the state has to compensate them for. It also reduces the chance of injured or police fire personnel of senior age. We are not asking for a handout. We're more than willing to pay for this benefit, and I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. I request that you support House Bill 116. It's a critical bill that recognizes the service of veterans who have served their country and currently serve your state. I'd like to also point out that VPSO Mandel gave the ultimate sacrifice, and it's something that we should all take into consideration, that we live in a dangerous world, and it's even more dangerous at 54 to police the citizens. Thank you for your time.
I've got one question.
Yes, sir.
I believe it would also open up advancement possibilities for some of the younger people coming in.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
I mean, if you're going to stick around 5 extra years, they're going to have to wait 5 years to have your job. Somebody is.
Yes, Chair, that's correct. Certainly. And we're not talking, I guess nobody's mentioned it yet, sir, but you know, this would be a trickle effect. These 240 people are not going to be gone tomorrow. I'm one of those people, and you know, I still have 4 years of service to go before I'd even be eligible to take this option.
Well, I think it'd probably be like a reduction in force. Not everybody would be taking it out of the 238 that are qualified for one reason or another. They may have it through a different means, or they may not feel like they need it, or they may not want to spend the money.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
So I don't think it's going to overwhelm the system. But again, thank you for your time, and let's see, who else do we have in the room? How about Chris Burke?
My name is Christopher Burke, and I'm a sergeant with the Juneau Police Department. currently. And I'd like to also recognize Representative Millett for introducing this bill. This bill is a benefit to myself and to the other members that we've talked about. I've been, like Mr. Sears, I've been involved in law enforcement for most of my life as well. And I have already purchased back my military time, my military credit that I did. I've been with the Juneau Police Department and in active law enforcement for 17 years as a police officer. But I also need to make a notation that the City and Borough of Juneau has not taken a position on this bill as of yet. Prior to me becoming a police officer, I was in the United States Coast Guard, and where I served on two separate patrol boats, and the mission of those patrol boats was law enforcement and search and rescue. I was in the Coast Guard during the first Gulf War, and during that time, our mission was anti-terrorist patrols. I was married, and I moved back to Alaska, where I was born and raised, and it was basically my wife and I's dream for me to work in law enforcement in the community that I grew up in. This bill carries no fiscal note to the state. In fact, all of the costs are put on the members wishing to purchase this benefit as an option. As the current system sits, I would need to stay the additional 5 years to retire with full benefits. The state and municipalities would be paying the medical benefits for me and the other members during this 5 years. I'm at the top of my pay scale currently. So the costs for me to stay the additional 5 years would be a little bit more for the municipalities. And like you said, Mr. Chair, it would also, because I'm a sergeant within the police department, it would give the opportunity. We only have six sergeants at the Juneau Police Department. It would give an opportunity for a younger officer to be able to promote to the sergeant level. As I get older, this job does become more demanding. And I've been lucky so far in my career that I haven't been seriously injured, knock on wood. But I also will say that I've had my share of aches and pains with the job requirement. I do carry that extra 28 pounds, and I am a working street patrol sergeant. The only way for me to not do that type of job would be to become basically a paper pusher, and with the amount of sergeants and supervisors that we have at our job or at the Juneau Police Department, there's just not that opportunity. So I'm going to remain as a sergeant on the street. Don't get me wrong, though, I love my job, but this is really a young person's career. I'm working side by side with people half my age that they're go-getters and they want to go get, and I let them go get, and then I and then I pull up in my car and take the people away. So, but I am there trying to keep up with them. So.
Some people might call that wise.
Yes, this is true. This is true. So if this bill is passed, I am one of those people also, like Mr. Sears, that I have three more years left until I hit my 20 years of service. So it is going to be a tiered effect that not everybody is just going to leave all at once. And with purchasing my credited time, I would be leaving with 25 years of service. Additionally, I'd be paying for the retired medical premiums, not the city or the state. I've proudly served my country, the state of Alaska, and the city of Juneau for 26 years of my life. And I'd like you to support this bill, and it's actually a cost savings to the state of Alaska, municipality, and it's a way to say thank you to the veterans who've dedicated their lives to helping people in public service. So, thank you.
Thanks again for joining us, and I might add there's at least one veteran on the committee. Am I the only one?
Yes,
I'm it.
Is anyone old enough, Mr. Chairman?
Born at the wrong time. Having said that, is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify? I'm not going to be closing out public testimony today, but I'd like to get through the people that we have in the LIO. So seeing nobody in the room, I'm going to go to James Blaisdon and Nikiski.
Jim, are you with us?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is James.
I've got the speaker in the room, too.
I can see him. He looks good from here.
I think he's going to say hello. How are you doing, Jim?
Very well, Mr. Speaker.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You've got our undivided attention, Jim.
My name is James Basin. I'm currently the fire chief for the Nikiski Fire Department. I also serve as the first vice president for the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. I'd like to thank Representative Olson for giving me a little time to testify today, as well as give a thank you to Representative Millett for sponsoring House Bill 116. I'm one of five military veterans who work for the Nikiski Fire Department. Through some research, through the other departments down here on the Kenai Peninsula, we found that there's approximately 10 firefighters that House Bill 116 would affect. I've also had some conversations with the some members up in the Anchorage Fire Department, and right now it looks like there's 23 members in Anchorage Fire Department that House Bill 116 will have a positive effect on. I'll give you my story real quick. I served honorably in the United States Air Force for 9 years, 3 additional years in Alaska Air National Guard as a firefighter. In 2007, my wife and I refinanced our home so we could purchase 5 years of PERS military credit at a cost of $39,000. In September 2014, I will have 20 years in the Alaska Fire Service as a PERS Tier 2 employee, and I've also purchased the 5 years of my military time. So after serving 9 years as a firefighter in the Air Force, 3 years as a firefighter with Alaska Air National Guard, and 20 years actually for the state of Alaska as a public safety employee, I'm eligible to retire in the PERS system next year, but I still won't be eligible to receive medical coverage. So for more than 25 years, I provided public service to Alaska as a firefighter and a military veteran, and I know I'm not alone. Military veterans, firefighters, and police officers will put themselves at risk helping others throughout their careers. They'll be exposed to many types of hazardous situations throughout their careers while protecting Alaskans, and sometimes they will have to risk their own lives to protect our property and our loved ones. Please help honor our Alaskan veterans who are public safety members with passage of House Bill 116. Again, thank you for the time today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I got one for you, Jim. How many of the CES people are with this supply to?
Right now, what I can see from my conversations is we've got the five in Nikiski, there's two in Central Emergency Services, Kenai doesn't have anybody, two in Bear Creek, and two in Homer. The fire chief in Kodiak sent me a message, I think there's two down in Kodiak that I know also. So the thing is, and most of these members, out of everybody that I spoke with, I'm the only one so far that's actually paid for my military PERS retirement, those additional 5 years. So even if this goes into effect, I'm not sure that a lot of people will take advantage of it or be able to.
Mr. Speaker, any questions for Jim?
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you too, Jim. Anyway, next up, we've got John Brown and Seward. Are you with us, John?
I am here, sir.
Oh, thank you. Please state your name and affiliation, and thank you for joining us today and participating.
Thank you. My name is John Brown. I live down here in Seward, and I'm a sergeant with the Alaska State Troopers. I've been stationed all over Alaska, and I have a little less than 17 years with the state troopers. And prior to that, I was in the United States Air Force as a law enforcement officer for 4 years. And so this bill, I wouldn't be able to help me until for another 3 years, like several other people that have talked as well. And I want to thank Representative Millett for sponsoring this bill along with the other co-sponsors. Although I'm not haven't reached too ripe of an age, I do know that like last night when I got called out to respond to a call, I don't get going quite as quick as I used to. So I know that this bill would mean a lot to not only myself but also my family. And so I want to thank you for the time allowing me to speak today.
Well, thank you again for joining us. Sean Martinez, Fairbanks. Are you with us?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Thank you for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yeah, my name is Sean Martinez. I'm a sergeant with the Airport Police and Fire Department in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thank you again for taking the time to participate. Please continue.
All right, sir. I would like to first thank Representative Millett for sponsoring the bill. I have 15 years as an airport police fire officer. I served in the U.S. Coast Guard for 7 years. I was based out of my first tour was out of Homer, Alaska, on the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Sedge. And then from there, I went to aviation school and came back and was based out of Kodiak, Alaska, at the air station there. And I served 4 years in Kodiak. So I've served Alaskans for most of my career here. At our department up in Fairbanks, we have 23 members, PSEA members. 10 are Tier 3, and only out of those 10, Tier 3, 3 are eligible. So basically 13% of our workforce is eligible for, you know, to buy back their military time. Right now, all the tasking and training and everything that we've done up here is we do police and fire. So I have probably 6 recruits starting on May 1. And I'll be coming back from back surgery and coming on to full duty April 1. So with all of our fire gear, I weigh 340 pounds. So at 15 years on, I have 5 years, I'm hoping to be able to, you know, finish out strong. With all the training and everything else that we do up here, it is just our zest for life is incredible. Our officers are incredible. And the 3 that are here that have served in the military, this would be a good chance to say thank you. And also, I hope you guys will support this bill. It'll mean a lot to our people.
Well, thank you again for joining us today. And looks like we're going to get to everybody. Sergeant Mark Cloward from Cordova, are you with us, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you've got our undivided attention.
My name is Mark Cloward. I live and work in Cordova. I'm employed as a patrol sergeant with the division of the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, and I'm also a veteran. I'd like to thank Representative Millett for introducing and working on House Bill 116 for all veterans. The routine nature of my work as a trooper is physically demanding. In the normal course of a day, I might fly a Super Cub or a Cessna 185, ride a four-wheeler, snow machine, or operate some type of marine vessel. Oftentimes between several just to achieve my patrol needs for the day. Most of these routine contacts require that I board vessels in rough waters or hike some distance to access remote camps that need inspection. With that, the potential for on-the-job injuries is considerable in these remote areas, and I've had several in the last 15 years. No question that my injuries are proportional to age. I'm now 47, and I regret to grasp that I'm no longer invincible. That being said, I expect that the longer I stay in the troopers, the physical demands are going to be more and more challenging for me to meet. House Bill 116, however, gives me the option to retire at 20 years and allows me to buy medical coverage to coincide with the 5 years accredited military service I've already purchased. This will give me a true 25 years accredited service with medical benefits. Without this option, I'm going to need to continue to work an additional 10 years to obtain the same benefit. However, the state's going to be obligated to a 30-year pension based on an even higher earning rate. I believe House Bill 116 is a fiscally viable option, allowing me as a veteran, after 20 years of service, to retire with full benefits, while simultaneously relieving the state of additional financial burden of funding a 30-year retirement. I'd like to thank you all for your time and attention, and I urge you to support House Bill 116. It's a critical component in recognizing those that have served their country and now serve the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Well, thank you again. With that, we actually finished off everybody that had signed up for public testimony, but I'm going to hold it open. We're going to carry the bill over, and we've got some minor tweaking to do, but I'll keep the public testimony open, and with that, we will adjourn at 5 o'clock.
Did you have...
No, that's okay. Actually.
If I could just briefly...
we're still on the record.
Just half a minute. I don't mean to get overly sentimental, but I'm just so impressed by the public workers, whether they're in the exempt class or the non-exempt. I really believe without these folks, the wheels of the state would come off. The private sector is vital, but I just wish everyone, all my constituents, knew about all these people and what they're doing. It's hard to tell it all, but I'm impressed.
You have to say it, the only time they're going to know it is when they need them.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a sad fact of life. Roseanne, what?
I just want to pass on my condolences to the family of the officer, the village public safety officer in Manicotic. We just passed that on to his family, that we're all thinking about him, and we should probably have recognized that earlier today, but that is a very tragic young man. So thank you. Tell him thank you, and his family, thank you for your service.
Any other comments before I gavel out? Seeing and not hearing any, we are done at 5 o'clock.